7. Maven. Brendan McCord doesn't look like a secret weapon. Tall and thin, Brendan has a quiet competitiveness about him. He could be a weekend triathlete or maybe a ranked amateur chess player, but weapon is not a word that comes to mind. Yet Brendan is one of the Pentagon's most vital weapons for securing U.S. military dominance in the 21st century, not with his fists or knives or guns, but with his knowledge of AI. Brendan was one of the defense officials behind Project Maven, a Pentagon effort to harness AI for military operations. Using new technologies is the bread and butter of what the U.S. military does. The Department of Defense invented stealth, the global positioning system, and laid the seeds of the Internet. But AI is being invented outside of the traditional defense community in companies like Google, Microsoft, and Facebook. Brendan's job was to bring AI into the DoD. Brendan was head of machine learning at DIU, an outpost DoD had set up in Silicon Valley to circumvent its own sclerotic acquisition system and tap into the U.S. tech sector. Maven was one of the DoD's first major success stories, and a major controversy. It was 2017, and Brendan's marching orders were clear. The Deputy Secretary of Defense, Bob Work, wanted AI and machine learning integrated into DoD, and he wanted it done fast. Bob was one of a cadre of defense analysts who had been warning for years about China's military modernization and America's waning advantages. He felt the clock was ticking. Now, as Deputy Secretary, he had an opportunity to help set the U.S. military on the right track. Already, he had made an impact. The new National Defense Strategy, which was still in development and wouldn't come out until the next year, would name China and Russia as the primary concern in U.S. national security. Bob believed that autonomy and AI were crucial elements of a forthcoming military technical revolution in warfare. Staying ahead of China and Russia meant leading in what he described as a new type of warfare called algorithmic warfare. Bob defined algorithmic warfare as the same as the Chinese concept of intelligentized warfare. He had launched in DoD a third offset strategy to adopt AI and autonomy, hearkening back to DoD's first two offset strategies during the Cold War that drew on nuclear weapons and precision-guided weapons. But Bob hadn't seen the prairie fire catch yet in DoD, he told me. Bob had been clamoring for attention on AI, but the department wasn't pursuing it in a very enthusiastic or deliberate manner, in his view. By the spring of 2017, Bob had been in his role for nearly 3 years. His tenure had spanned two presidential administrations and three secretaries of defense, and he knew his time was drawing short. The current Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, had made lethality and readiness the focus of his attention, putting new technologies on the back burner. Bob knew he needed a tangible demonstration of military AI that would cause the rest of the department to say, "Holy crap, this would really help us," in Bob's words. So Bob turned to the Breakfast Club. The Breakfast Club was the name for a group of colonels that were supposed to be the acolytes, as Bob described them, for the department's efforts to reinvigorate its technological advantage against Russia and China. Bob asked them for a problem AI might be able to solve, and they pointed to the military's voluminous amounts of video footage from drones. Despite the public attention on drone strikes, the military's primary use for drones is for intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, or ISR. The demand was insatiable. The military had steadily grown its airborne ISR capabilities for nearly 2 decades running, and was on track to operate 90 round-the-clock patrols worldwide of mid-sized drones, such as the MQ-9 Reaper, by 2019. At around $16 million apiece, the drones were relatively cheap, in Pentagon terms. The real problem was the personnel. Each 24/7 patrol took dozens of intelligence analysts to process the data coming off the drones. 90 drone patrols could rack up nearly 800,000 hours of video footage a year and monitoring those video feeds required a lot of eyeballs. Technology had, in some ways, only made the problem worse. To manage the overwhelming need for more ISR, the DoD had pushed development of wide-area surveillance tools that could provide a God's-eye view of the battlefield. In 2014, the Air Force equipped a small number of Reaper drones with an advanced sensor system called Gorgon Stare that could surveil an entire city. Equipped with multiple cameras, like a fly's eye, the Gorgon Stare pods, which hung underneath the Reaper's wings in lieu of bombs, could monitor dozens of square kilometers at once. This vast expansion of coverage, while valuable, made the already crushing personnel demands impossible to manage. In his book on the Gorgon Stare program, Eyes in the Sky, Arthur Holland Michel explains that a single 10-hour Gorgon Stare mission generates 65 trillion pixels of information. Who was going to watch all that video? The answer was the machines, but for years the machines hadn't been good enough. I'd seen demonstrations of simple automated video processing tools back in 2010 when I worked on ISR in the Pentagon's policy shop, but the technology had never been good enough to use in an operational role. But that was before the deep learning revolution. In 2012, machine learning researchers made major progress against a standard image database called ImageNet, which is used for testing AI systems on recognizing images. In 2015, a team from Microsoft beat human performance on ImageNet using deep neural networks. Today, neural networks are used in a variety of applications to recognize objects in pictures, from facial recognition to medical imagery. Now the DoD was interested in applying this technology to their own problems. The main threat that we were focused on were car bombs, Colonel Jason Brown told me. Colonel Brown was the commander of the Air Force's 480th ISR Wing, a 6,000-person unit responsible for leading the Air Force's globally networked ISR operations, and car bombs were a major intelligence problem. Car bombs could cause devastating casualties and had become a weapon of choice for insurgents. At its peak, Kabul suffered as many as 4 car bombs a week. Cars and trucks could pack much more explosives than a suicide vest, with the biggest truck bombs causing massive casualties. A 2019 car bomb against the Afghan intelligence base killed 126 people. The bombing's main effect was psychological, however. The steady toll of bombings in Afghanistan's capital, ostensibly under government control, demonstrated the weakness of the Afghan government. With each bomb, insurgents were in effect communicating to the people, if the government can't protect its own capital, how can it protect you? A purely defensive approach to stopping car bombs using blast walls and checkpoints wasn't working. The U.S. military had pioneered during the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan a sophisticated counter-network approach that relied on intelligence and special operations forces to illuminate and take down terrorist networks. Overhead surveillance from drones was a key component of this counter-network approach, allowing intelligence analysts to monitor terrorist activity, track their movements, and map the connections between bombs, bomb makers, suppliers, financiers, and other parts of the bomb-making enterprise. Once identified, facilitators could be taken out with drone strikes or raids by special operators. Gorgon Stare allowed the Air Force to record video over a whole city, a major expansion of their intelligence collection capacity, but the Air Force still needed intel analysts to watch the video. Colonel Brown explained, "The challenge, as you can imagine, seeing most of the city at once, there was limited bandwidth, so you could only have about 10 airmen looking in 10 different locations within that city. Where do you put these 10 airmen and their 10 sets of eyes and 10 brains and their 10 machines tied to that? This is very manual. Computer vision could help." Gorgon Stare had the ability to rewind video, like a digital video recorder device. This gave intel analysts the ability to backtrack car bombs and find their point of origin. "We could watch it. We'd know when a car bomb would explode," Colonel Brown explained. "We would actually see it in the Gorgon Stare video. But then you could backtrack like a DVR, go back to your location of origin. Once you have that location of origin, then you could start going backward in time and mapping out where people came from. Then you could really map out your network. Even if analysts couldn't predict threats beforehand, they could use the footage from Gorgon's Stair to rewind activity in a city to map terrorist activity, find their safe houses, and prevent an attack from happening again. It was slow and painstaking work for humans to do manually. The sheer volume of data was unmanageable. The goal was to have computer vision help, not to replace the job of human intel analysts, but to assist them. Computer vision algorithms that could recognize objects could shift through reams of video to find objects of interest. Colonel Brown explained, "Where we expected a computer vision solution to help us was, you could go back into the data, tell me every time a car left this location. Then, the computer vision algorithm would timestamp when certain activities would happen in certain places. Humans would still need to be intimately involved in intelligence analysis, but automated tools could speed up the process." The military had been experimenting with automated tools for video processing for over a decade, but the technology had not been ready. Now, because of advances in deep learning, the hope was that it might be. Bob Work's desire for a high-value AI application intersected with a real operational need, tracking car bombs, and a viable technology, computer vision. Will Roper, then head of the DoD's Strategic Capabilities Office, had a project underway called MAVEN, which was processing satellite imagery for the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, NGA. Roper saw the potential for machine learning, but first had to convince skeptics in DoD. Roper said, "The Pentagon had been burned by decades of automatic target recognition programs that did not work enough to be operational." In a brief to the Deputies Management Action Group, a senior group of military and civilian leaders in the Pentagon, Roper gave a tutorial on recent advances in machine learning and why the technology had evolved to the point where it could now work. "The baggage that automatic target recognition doesn't work," Roper explained, led others in the Pentagon to largely respond, "We've tried this before." No one in the Pentagon thought it was a good idea to create Project MAVEN other than me and Bob Work, Roper said. But he was the deputy secretary, and so the program got funded. MAVEN evolved into Bob's new AI project, whose official mission was applying computer vision algorithms for object detection, classification, and alerts for drone video footage. The goal was to reduce the human factors burden of video analysis, increase actionable intelligence, and enhance military decision-making. Bob Work signed a memo in April 2017 establishing the Algorithmic Warfare Cross-Functional Team, Project MAVEN. The formal name, which abbreviated to the unwieldy acronym AWCFT, was classic Pentagon speak, equal parts bureaucratic gobbledygook and military hype. The DoD had a long pattern of giving its programs seemingly bloodthirsty names, drones called Predator and Reaper, surveillance systems named after Greek monsters that turn men to stone, but this rarely rankles defense contractors. But DoD needed to reach out beyond traditional defense companies and court tech firms who seemed allergic to negative branding. As Brendan McCord pointed out, algorithmic warfare is the absolute epitome of the terror scenario that people want to avoid on the West Coast. To put Bob's vision into practice, MAVEN would have to do several things different from traditional defense projects. For one, while DoD had a robust track record of building whiz-bang technology from stealth jets to satellites, the department often struggled to move quickly. DoD's traditional processes were too sluggish to adopt a rapidly maturing technology like computer vision. An acquisition timeline that took 7 to 10 years to achieve first fielding would be several generations behind the state of the art and would be too slow for most commercial companies which operate on faster timelines. In his tasking memo, Bob Work directed the MAVEN team to integrate algorithmic-based technology in 90-day sprints, which was effectively light speed for the DoD bureaucracy. The second problem was that, to harness computer vision technology, DoD needed to reach beyond the traditional defense contractors and tap into technology companies. Traditional defense contractors like Lockheed Martin or Northrop Grumman could make a stealth airplane, but the leaders in computer vision were tech companies like Google and Microsoft. DoD was largely flying in the dark with these relationships. That's where Brendan came in. In July 2017, McCord traveled with Maven Leads Lieutenant General Jack Shanahan, Colonel Drew Kukor, and Air Force Colonel Jason Brown to Honolulu to the Computer Vision and Pattern Recognition Conference to meet with some of the top minds on computer vision. They also pitched Google, who would go on later that year to join Maven as one of its biggest partners. Brendan was a former submarine officer who'd gone on to work at a venture capital firm and then a tech startup, leading their AI team. But then Brendan was inspired by Secretary of Defense Ash Carter, who spoke at the ribbon-cutting ceremony for DIU's satellite office in Boston. Brendan said when Secretary Carter talked about the need for DoD to get serious when it came to AI, it got me interested in joining because I was a military veteran. Suddenly, his work at the AI startup felt important for the country. Brendan joined DIU working on two open-source computer vision projects. One was building the largest data set for object detection in overhead satellite imagery. The second project set the world speed record for training deep neural nets on public cloud infrastructure, beating Google's prior record by 40% on a benchmark competition called Dawn Bench from Stanford. As Maven embarked, Brendan helped them identify companies to work with. "Often it was the case that I was finding the company and pinpointing it," he said. "Here are the good labeling companies. Here are the good computer vision companies. Here are the good machine learning infrastructure companies." It was pinpointing who those folks are, big and small, and then helping Maven go out and figure out how to assess these companies. It was a combination of my experience in venture capital, my experience in the startup, and my time at DIU, with seeing a lot of different companies and knowing what to ask for. The Maven team moved quickly. In July 2017, Marine Corps Colonel Drew Kukor, who was chief of the AWCFT, publicly announced their intent to deploy an initial operational system by the end of the year. The goal was to build an AI-based image classifier that could detect 38 different classes of objects, such as vehicles and people, relevant for military operations against ISIS. A big part of the effort was data labeling. "We have a large group of people who are going through our data and cleaning it up," Kukor announced at a defense conference. "We also have a relationship with a significant data labeling company to allow our workforce to label our data and prepare it for machine learning." Bob Work declassified the drone video footage that Maven needed to train its algorithms so that commercial companies could work on it, and Maven's training data ultimately grew to over 1 million labeled images. Maven hit its deadline, and by the end of 2017, deployed an initial automated video analysis tool to military intelligence units supporting counter-ISIS operations in Iraq and Syria. The tool was relatively simple and identified and tracked people, vehicles, and other objects in video from Scan Eagle drones used by special operators. As with many AI systems, there were initial hiccups in fielding as the Maven team discovered that there were important differences between the training data and the actual operating environment. "Once you deploy it in a real location, it's flying against a different environment than it was trained on," Lieutenant General Jack Shanahan, who led Project Maven, told Defense One. "Still works, of course, but it's just different enough in this location, say that there's more scrub brush, or there's fewer buildings, or there's animals running around that we hadn't seen in certain videos." This is a common problem in AI object classification systems. Subtle differences between the training data and the real-world environment can cause system performance to drop off significantly. "That is why it's so important in the first 5 days of a real-world deployment to optimize or refine the algorithm," Shanahan said. The Maven team worked to quickly adjust the algorithm, updating it 6 times in 8 days. "This is maybe one of our most impressive achievements, is the idea of refinement to the algorithm," Shanahan said. While continuous refinement of deployed products is routine in commercial software, such as regular updates to computer software, tightly integrating operations with product development and iterating so quickly was new to DoD. While the initial Maven product was nowhere close to delivering the "holy crap, this would really help us" eureka moment across DoD that Bob Work wanted, it was a major triumph for DoD to move from project start to delivering an operational capability in the field in 8 months. In the months ahead, the project would expand its footprint to operations across the Middle East and Africa, incorporate footage from additional types of drones, and turn to wide-area imagery like that from Gorgon Stare. Maven's real innovation wasn't technology, though. It was organizational. "You don't buy AI like you buy ammunition," Colonel Kukor said. Computer vision wasn't the hard part. It was getting DoD to work with non-traditional companies and rapidly deliver a valuable capability to those in the field. Not everyone supported tech companies working closer with the military, though. A few months later, Project Maven would explode into a public controversy.